Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Simpleton Podcast.
Yep.
My name is Daniel James and this is quite a historic occasion as we broadcast to you live from the small township in northeast Victoria known as Urawa.
For the second time in the flesh, let's not play games.
Well, we're actually doing it outside. This is our first outside broadcast. Can we agree on that?
First outside broadcast in the flesh.
Yes. As a matter of fact, to be more specific, we're actually broadcasting from my dad's backyard.
Yep.
My dearly departed father up here in Urawa. And we thought, well, might as well make use of the old place. And we've set up our studio.
Mm. As a helicopter buzzes overhead, Daniel, but more on that shortly.
Yes. Sirens in the distance, I hear, Scott.
Mm. And an armoured personnel carrier, chock-a-block with SES personnel speeding past.
Was that the SES or SAS?
SES.
It's quite a difference, isn't it?
It is a big difference. More on that later. Proceed.
So I am driving in from the distance, Scott, and I saw the gleaming lights of Urawa in the distance, but I couldn't help but notice that the Urawa skyline was not the same.
Mm. Indeed.
You're the local, Scott. Do you want to fill us in?
I'm the local, Daniel Nathan. Welcome to the township of Urawa, where residents have woken up to find a dominant icon of the Urawa skyline no longer there. As another helicopter buzzes overhead.
Gee.
That's right. The Urawa skyline.
That was the Channel 7 chopper too.
Yeah. As another APC full of SES personnel speeds past, Daniel.
Is that an APC or SPC?
APC.
Quite a difference, isn't there?
Another big difference. That's right. The Urawa skyline has been changed irreversibly.
Well done.
And officialdom is yet to say why.
Scott, let's not beat around the bush. We all know what the elephant in the backyard is here.
Mm.
The Shire Council, without any authority or any liaison with the local community, has knocked down the the Kirkland Avenue toilet block in the Seven Creeks Park.
Let me just chip in that that's only speculation at this point.
No, it's not there.
It's not there, but the claim of responsibility is only speculative. In fact, the Shadow Shire of Strathbogie government has not claimed responsibility, although several fingers have pointed in that direction. More on that later when news is coming through.
It's an unfolding story.
As another helicopter buzzes overhead.
These helicopters sound a lot like bees and little birds, but we all know about that. We don't need to go into that any further.
Yeah.
Scott, it's a beautiful day and I don't want to waste our time. I believe that you have the world report.
I have the world report.
Congratulations.
You're comfortable with it?
Look, I've had a bit of a read-through of what you've got planned and I'm quite comfortable of it.
Mm. Today we're talking about Villa Buli in Laos. That country, Laos.
Isn't it Lao?
Lao. Silent S on the end?
Yeah.
Good.
But don't you mean Vietnam?
Well, double-pronged attack there. I beg to differ on that, pal. It's now a part of Lao.
It's Vietnam, Scott. We both know that.
Let's then agree that at the very least.
Sorry, I just had a mozzie fly into my mouth and that's actually true.
Let's agree then at the very least it is in Indochina.
Well, yeah, we can agree on that.
Mm. Now to the story. Well, residents of Villa Buli.
Wang.
You've conquered Wang?
Scott, continue. What you got to say about Wang?
You obviously know what the story is about, but it's not Wang, it is Wen.
We're talking about Wangaratta in Indochina, aren't we?
No and yes. Just to digress, my friend, what's the nationality of a person from Lao?
A Laotian.
Very good.
Thank you.
Well, most people from this village, Villa Buli, in the
Laotian
province of Savannakhet engage in hobbies including fishing, chess. G'day, Bazza. Bazza just over the fence there, watering the garden.
Be, so to speak. Be with you there soon, mate. All right.
While they engage in hobbies include... G'day, Mazza. Mazza. Sorry.
How's the missus, Maz?
Right. Clear let's, off. Let's proceed. Well, most people from this village in the Laotian province of Savannakhet engage in hobbies including fishing, chess, stamp collecting, and watching pornography. Juan has begun to make a name for himself with the unusual nature of his hobby, i.e. diffusing unexploded ordnance left over from the Indochina War.
You mean the Vietnam War?
Okay.
Proceed.
In fact, Juan recently defused a 10,000-pound American bomb that had been deemed as too dangerous by European experts.
Proceed.
Approximately 30% of that particular type of bomb, known as a clockwork bomb, did not explode.
Next bat.
That's crude.
Proceed.
Did not explode, meaning Juan will never run out of things to do. Especially given that his village is in the vicinity of the so-called Hu Shi Ming Trail that was a major target of such ordnance. On top of this, Juan can make handy money from selling steel. From the bomb.
The bombs, plural, Scott. But yeah, it's a burgeoning trade, isn't it? Virabili. Virabili is the village. It would have been dropped by US Air Force pilot Chip Wood. It was based in Undontani throughout much of 1968, if I recall correctly. So Juan has defused a 46-year-old bomb there, Scott.
I'd like to point... Yeah, interesting. Interesting. I'd like to point out that over 580,000 sorties were flown over Laos during the Vietnam War, a war in which more ordnance was dropped than that which was dropped in World War II and the Bonnie Doon Uprising combined. What I'd like to ask
big
you,
big statement. Very big statement.
It's apparently on the record, fact. I'd like to ask you, Daniel, if you know the name of every pilot who dropped every one of these bombs, respond.
Well, of course I fucking don't. But I know Chip Wood. But look, do you want me to name them, Scott?
Look, I'll save you. You can't do that, so I'll say no. But what I'd like to do is to cut a long story short.
Good.
One was of what ideological or religious persuasion?
I think he was...
Buddhist. That's correct, Daniel. You're about to say that. It was on the tip of your tongue. And, and of course, he believes in reincarnation and is not necessarily afraid of dying. And so he's more than willing to take on this risky line of work.
Am I missing a page?
Page two should have
Daniel. No, that's all right. No, proceed. I got it.
Unprofessional, Daniel. I'll edit that out in post-production.
You will.
Yeah. What? I guess it's time
Bullshit.
For an... guess it's time for an ad break.
I motion for an ad break.
Okay.
Coming soon to the Simpleton Podcast Network. Yoawa 81.
So, it was in about period three or four. It must have been home economics that we had at the time because we had Mr. Smith, Martin Smith. He was a bit funny, a bit queer, but anyway, Bazza, who was sitting by the window, suddenly says, "Stroof, mate, look out the window. What's that?" And we all go to the window and there they were, mate. About five of them, shiny lights and stuff, all hovering in formation, like...
The true story of an unexplained event witnessed by up to 300 students and staff at Euroa High School on November 3rd, 1981.
So they all ran out onto the oval, and I thought, wow, wee man, either we've all overdone it on the hooch, or those things hovering over the golf course are some sort of UFOs. So everyone started running over to the golf course. The teachers were trying to stop us, but chances are, mate, they couldn't. So when we got there, most of them had already disappeared, but one of them landed right in the middle of the fairway in the 16th. Jeez, mate.
Some of them ran over to the golf course, but those of us who stayed back saw the other few take off toward Ruffy, way out of sight, mate. And there was one left on the golf course, and we saw it take off a bit later. Apparently, some of the others went over to it and almost got within touching distance before she took off.
But the initial contact was only the start of it.
So, everything got back under control, and the rest of the day went on almost like nothing had happened, even though it was the only thing anyone was talking about. But the next morning, the principal, Mr. Ronk, calls an assembly, tells us that what we saw were only weather balloons, mate. And funny thing is, there were these two guys in black suits standing right next to him. They must have been government people. We'd never even seen them before.
Mate, lots of funny stuff went on in the aftermath. The golf club was sealed off for weeks and no one could see the land in scorch marks. People were questioned by some of them, you know, fancy government people. And we were all told not to go to the media, mate. And that's not the half of it.
Euroa 81, a close encounter of the scary kind. A documentary masterpiece that is coming soon to the Simpleton Podcast Network.
Scott,
yeah, that should be a good listen.
You know what else is a good listen?
What?
That wood chipper in the background has decided to join our podcast. I assume it's some sort of wood chipping device.
Oh. Yeah, look, it's just started up then because if that would have gone through that documentary,
Scott, I'm going to let Nathan in behind the curtain just for once and once only.
Be careful. Tread carefully, my friend.
That wood chip is going to be really difficult to edit out of the documentary that we just live read.
Well, just start it up then. It won't be in the documentary.
Okay, Scott, let's play your way.
That's a real boon for the Simpleton Podcast Network.
It is, I'm actually absolutely stunned that I've never heard of that before.
Do you wonder? Daniel.
Who authorised it? Who authorised that? You nearly spewed up then in an attempt to do a gratuitous burp.
Look, Daniel.
Did you spew up a little bit in your mouth just then?
I must admit I've got somewhat of a recycled Diet Cokey sort of flavour at the back of the throat. But Daniel,
pure,
what
are... Pure Diet Coke?
Pure Diet Coke.
Well, I'm drinking Pure Blonde.
Look, Daniel. Look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to probably say it was the guys upstairs. You know that, yeah, you've been given free rein to run this thing. But at times the guys upstairs do things. They go over our heads and they've got the right to do it. You might not like it. I might not like it. That's the way it is.
If it continues to happen, Scott, I'm going to resign from the Simpleton Podcast Network and there's no two ways about it.
So what will be left then? If you resigned, what's left of it then?
It'll just be you mumbling to yourself in a corner.
Without the ability to record it.
Yeah, because you just... Let's be honest, Scott, you're not the most technically proficient person on earth, are you?
All right, then. Those lemons are blooming magnificently.
Well, it's a good time of year for lemons. It's a magnificent lemon tree. It's been there since I've been a part of this household, and long may it rain. Scott, do you think we should go and tell the neighbour to turn the wood chipper off for a little bit?
You know what? I'll be frank with you. We can't see anything what's happening over there. It's separated. Whatever's happening over there and between them and us is separated by a large fence. It sounds a bit fleshy and bony. So,
there is a little bit of red mist, but that could just be that he's just throwing some rose bushes into the...
Could well be it. Or it could be the work of Jack the Lipper.
Jack the Lipper, wow. That's a story for another time, Scott.
Let's not give any more details.
And let's not defame ourselves either. But I'm kind of pissed off with this neighbour. I don't know which neighbour it is, but I'm kind of pissed off because we decided to broadcast outside so we could actually highlight how peaceful and tranquil Urawa is.
Mm.
And look what we have to fucking put
that
up with.
Magnificent view. Is that Balmadam Hill?
That is Balmadam Hill, yes.
That, I reckon that could be our next conquest. I'm not talking Wang-style conquest. I mean, you might remember about a year back we conquered Wombat.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
We, yes, sadly, we have to mention it, we lost...
Six
or seven good friends, including the Sherpa Greg. Listeners, we'll bring you in on this. As we podcast here, we're looking at the peak of Balmadam Hill.
I'm actually going to take a photo of it. I'm going to post it on our Twitter feed. All right.
I tell you what, Daniel.
Yes.
Let's conquer it and take a photo of ourselves on top of that hill one day to
let's
put
do
onto
that.
The Twitter feed.
Let's do that. What
Yeah, that's right. As I speak to your audience, Daniel is standing here photographing the peak of Balmadam Hill, which we are now declaring will be our next conquest. We've conquered Wombat, and next we're not going to do Wang. No. We're going to do Balmadam Hill. We could even make that a segment in a future podcast. Unfortunately, Greg the Sherpa died in an avalanche during... the recording or
yes.
the storming or the summiting of Mount Wombat, but you know,
yes,
I reckon that's our next one, and we're going to do that for Greg.
In Greg's memory.
Greg's memory. Yeah,
Scott. Yeah, cheers, big guy.
Cheers,
Scott. You know what time it is, don't you?
It's time. It's not time for an ad break.
No. It's time for listeners' letters.
Before we do that, Daniel.
Oh, the unfolding situation.
Mm.
Proceed.
Before we do that.
Yeah, all right, we'll keep talking.
Before we do that, listeners, word, as we look across at Balmadam Hill.
There you go.
Thank you. Oh. Let's look across at Balmadam Hill and, you know, try to block out that chipping that's going on. Word is coming through now. More has apparently just come through on the unfolding situation regarding the knocking down of the toilet block in Kirkland Avenue near the barbecues in the Seven Creeks Park area. And that's right. Yes. Sorry, as I speak to you, word is coming through that a shady construction group calling itself Pinny Constructions. Pinny Constructions. Just claimed responsibility. I'm just watching. Sorry, I'm watching a feed of that now. There appears to be a masked militant. There are subtitles on that. I'm just reading. The masked militant in this video is claiming responsibility for the knocking down of those toilets.
Hey.
Pinny Constructions, shady construction group, claiming responsibility as I speak. And it is apparently saying it will rebuild. That's just crass behaviour. Rebuild the toilet block for half the price that it would have otherwise cost. But it doesn't end there. This masked militant has a lot more to say. He's apparently reading from a statement, pre-prepared statement. Daniel, so that's the latest on that situation.
Either way, Scott, we can both agree it's a tragic situation.
Tragic situation. As we look across now, we can look across now and an icon of the Urawa skyline is not there anymore.
It's like Paris without the Eiffel Tower. It's like Pisa without its Leaning Tower.
Mm.
It's like Avenel without the train station.
It's like Greg without Mike.
Don't even go there.
Mm.
But... thanks for bringing us up to date on that, Scott. I had hoped to come back to Urawa under happier circumstances, but obviously not possible.
No.
The world is in enough turmoil it is, and I would have thought that a little tiny hamlet like Urawa would be immune from that, but apparently it's not.
It's not.
Scott, do you know what time it is?
Yep.
It's now time for listeners' letters. Oh, that is... You just got that... You now look like you've officially wet yourself. You've got some of it in your eye. How are you going to explain that to the wife when you get home, Scott? And I understand you're actually riding your bike home. What happens if you're pulled over by the constabulary? They're going to be able to smell it on you straight away.
Listeners, I have to say, I have no idea what Daniel is talking about. Completely contrived nonsense.
Let me explain to you, listeners, what he just did. He actually tried to crack a sole with a bottle, a stubby of pure blonde beer, and now he has worn it all over his person, including his, I don't want to go into too much detail here, his groin area. So it actually looks like he is actually literally pissed. But let's...
creative. I'll give
listeners,
that,
we can't do this podcast without you. Your letters and, Nathan, your letters and your input each week are actually...
Wait.
No, waffle is our enemy, all right?
Go on.
If you want to send us a letter, send it to the Simpleton Podcast. No, it's not right. Send it to contact at the Simpleton Podcast.
If that's a crow, it has got amazing... What's the word?
Plumage.
No, not plumage. Meaning high. More
altitude.
Altitude.
No, that's actually a jet airliner, Scott.
There's a little black dot that's, in front of... It's either the Mothman that terrorized...
That's the Melbourne to Sydney route.
It's either the Mothman that terrorized Point Pleasant back in the late 60s or it's a crow. But continue.
Want to send a letter, send it to contact@thesimpleton.com.au. Scott, I believe that you have the first letter.
Yeah, I got it. This letter comes from Victor Bay of Rotorua, New Zealand. And Victor writes, "It's not murder if it's self-defense." Thank you, Victor.
Thank you, Victor. And I hope everyone of our listeners in New Zealand are well and good.
Do we ever besides him, do we have one?
I don't know.
And you check all the stuff, you check the... You know, we got 14 downloads from Greenland.
Shut the fuck up.
Thank you. Yeah.
The next letter comes from Kavanagh Creed, Azores, one of two autonomous regions of Portugal, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're just making it worse for yourself, Scott. I got family here. I don't want them to see you like this.
Turn down on the creativity. What does Kavanagh Creed of the Azores, one of two autonomous regions of Portugal, have to say?
Peerless. Thank you, Kavanagh.
Thank you, Kavanagh. Wow.
You got the third letter, Scott.
Yeah. This one is from Repco Moon of Central America. Central America. That crow's just disappeared. Oh, no, there it is.
Back to the letters, Scott.
Repco writes... So what's with chickens then? They're small, defenseless, conspicuous by appearance, and they taste pretty good. Why are they like this? Thank you, Repco Moon.
A question we've often thought about. Oh, for fuck's sake, was he fucked it? Yeah, he stalled it.
It sounds like the ankle bone is particularly hard, and it's hard to grind down.
Scott, that...
it's up there.
As well.
It's where? Up there. Yeah, it's partially obstructed by that branch.
Right.
And it's a magnificent, shiny specimen of a creature. One of those thick branches there.
I can't see it. Anyway, Nathan and other simpletons out there, we thank you very much for your time. This has been a one... This is... Don't get it on the mic. This has been a wonderful episode. And let's do it again sometime, Scott. Maybe from the top of Balmain Hill. What do you think?
Right. See where I'm pointing? That little clearing? There's a clearing up
there.
Yes, the top.
I see it. Yes.
What you say that we do a show up there?
Check the Twitter feed, people, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about.
Is that private property up there?
I don't care. Scott, thank you for your time.
Yeah.